So Lord, as we come to your word, as we come to this teaching, Lord, we pray that it would give new revelation to how we walk this walk with you and how we understand what it means to be a follower of the practice of Jesus. We ask this now in Christ's mighty name. Amen. So we're continuing in this teaching series. It's more of a teaching series at the moment rather than a preach necessarily. But it's really important that we understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus and to live his life as an apprentice, someone who is seeking to be like him. That's what we are called to be as people who have committed our lives to Jesus, people who have understood the fact that we are people who are far from God, and through the work of the cross of Jesus, we've been drawn back into relationship with him, that the cross has paid for our sins and allows us to enter into new life with him, and that is a free gift from God. And so anyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus can walk in the free gift of grace and experience life in its fullness. But if we want to truly walk into all that God has for us, if we truly want to experience the fullness of what it means to be a disciple, or a better word, apprentice of Jesus, there are things that we've actually got to do. Not to earn our salvation, but to walk into the fullness of our salvation. Paul writes, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." That there is something that we can be involved with in this process of transformation that only God can ultimately do, but there's a part that we have to play in that. Sometimes you can be a Christian and you can sit around church for a long period of time and you're thinking, God, I've heard this one before. Oh, and I've heard this one. And I've heard a much better version of this one before. And you're thinking, why is nothing different? We become kind of stuck in how we are in our life. And I think, oh, come on, God. And it's because we've decided that it's everything is God's responsibility and none of it's our responsibility. And in the Christian life, although God does all the saving, and it's only through God's power that the transformation fully takes place, there are still things that we have to put into place in order to walk into the life that Jesus has for us. So on this journey that we're on through looking at practicing the way of Jesus, we're experiencing this idea of how in your spiritual formation there are things that can help us in that spiritual formation of becoming all God wants us to be, and there are things that are unhelpful. And it's saying the fact that not living this life of Jesus doesn't mean to say you're neutral, that you are being spiritually formed in your life by the stories that you believe, the relationships that you have, the habits that are part of your life, and the environment in which you live. All those things, over time, and through experiences that you have, are shaping your view of your spiritual understanding. All those things are shaping what your life looks like. Whether you're aware of it or not, whether you're a believer or not, all these things are shaping your life. They're shaping your beliefs, they're shaping your spiritual life, they're shaping what your life looks like, and how you act, and how you behave, and how you believe. Which is quite scary, isn't it? It's quite daunting when you suddenly realize actually everything around you is shaping you. Everything is part of shaping your views, your values, your culture. And so if you're not intentional about that, what you end up with is maybe a hodgepodge of different things from different places, and you can't really pin it down into anything specific. But as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, we want to be part of intentional formation. We want to think about what our lives could be like and step into and walk into all that could be. So intentional spiritual formation is recognizing that rather than just listening to any story that you could believe, that actually you think about the teachings of Jesus. What does God have to say on this particular topic? And when we live in a world right now where fake news is kind of has been a big thing, where you can't tell what to believe, it's saying, what actually is truth? And for Christians, what we're saying is that we believe the Word of God, the Bible, is God's truth, his revelation to us about what is the right way to understand the world in which we inhabit. So you've got to replace the stories that you believe or the stories you hear with the truth and the teaching of Jesus. That you change just relationships that you have, which are things that you choose to be in, into community. Because in community, there are people who you get on with and people who you don't get on with. There are people who are better than you and people who are worse than you. Or people who are better at certain things and people who are not so good at other things. And in community, what you do is it points out, it encourages us, it lifts up and says, actually, you can do that. Come on, we're going to be a cheerleader for you. But it also points out our blind spots and says, actually, maybe maybe actually that's something that maybe needs a bit of work on. And that's really helpful because it kind of hones us. It helps encourage us into all that we can be. And then the practices that we have, rather than just having any old habit that we've kind of picked up along the journey of life, actually choosing certain practices that are going to be beneficial to our spiritual well-being. And ultimately, all those things happen in the environment of the presence of God. And so the reason why it's called, following Jesus, is in the early part of the New Testament, it's called the Way, the people of the Way, is because it wasn't just about, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm in heaven now, marvellous, I can sit back and relax until I die. It was saying, actually, the journey of following Jesus is a way of life. It's not just something you just kind of happen to choose that I'll believe I'll be a Christian. That's fine. It's a way of life. It's something you live out. It's something that changes how you act. And in Matthew 7, we said last week, Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. He's saying, this journey, this being a Christian, this following the way, isn't always very easy. It's really easy to be spiritually unintentionally formed by the world around you. That's really easy. It's really broad. But to actually find life in a pattern of life and a way, it's quite difficult. If you've been doing any journey with Jesus for any number of times, you'll know that it's not always very easy. It's quite tough at times. And sometimes there's things you think, oh, why does the Bible say that? Why would God want that for us? And it's a wrestle sometimes, but actually it's quite a challenge to follow this way. And in Corinthians, Paul uses an analogy of it's like running a race. He says that the journey of the spiritual life is like a race. And he said no one would go into a race without doing some training first. But if you want to achieve something in a race that you're entering into, you don't just turn up on the day and go, I'll give it a go and assume I'll win. He says if you're going to enter into a race, you go into training first. You don't just start a marathon without doing any training. You go into training saying there's a way of life, a discipline of life, a practice of life you've got to get into in order to allow you to do something that currently you can't do. And he uses this idea of being disciplined or being kind of in a practice of life which helps you. When we hear that word discipline, all of us recoil slightly, don't we, and go, ooh, that sounds a bit like being told off. But to be disciplined is also the same way we get the word disciple from. It's about being, in a way, a pattern of life. And it's not a negative word. And so really the better word is the practice of Jesus. The things that we practice that help us. And so I said there in that verse from last week, it talks about how all athletes are disciplined in their training. Or it talks about, I discipline my body. It's saying, I do practices that are going to allow me to achieve the ultimate goal for which I am living my life, the race for which I am running for. So if you want to have a life which is life in its fullness with Jesus, you've got to pattern your life into the practices of Jesus. And so this old-fashioned word of the spiritual disciplines, which have been around the church for 2,000 years or so, is simply, what did Jesus do? Anything that Jesus does in his life is what we are called to implement into our life. The practices of Jesus are what we are called to put into our life. That can be all number of things. There's no definitive list of spiritual disciplines or the practices of Jesus. You read the Bible, what does Jesus do? So he has times of prayer. He has times of study. He has times of quietness. He has times of solitude. He has times of partying and celebration. He has times in discussion with other people. He has times where he's hanging out with people who aren't necessarily his first choice of people. He hangs out with tax collectors and with sinners. Sometimes he hangs out with his own friends. He hangs out with different people. There's lots of things that Jesus does which are called spiritual practices. Anything that Jesus does in his life, we are called to do the same. To pattern our life in the same way. So last week we kind of looked at why? Why spiritual disciplines? Why are they useful? What's the point of them? And we kind of looked at the fact that what we love in our heart has a far greater effect on how we live than what we know in our head. I use that story from James Smith where he said about how he was reading a book by his wife about the slow food movement, which is all about kind of about being like a sort of eating healthy food. It's about a healthy lifestyle. It's about a way of eating food in a sustainable way. And it's all kind of about the ethics of food. And he was sat there in America in Costco, which is like a massive kind of American supermarket, which is the complete opposite of anything ethical. And he sat there eating a hot dog. And he was thinking, I'm reading this book, and I know it's right. And he said, the problem was, I still love hot dogs. And in our life, even though we know what the right thing to do is sometimes, the problem is we still desire the things that actually aren't necessarily good for us. And we know it's not necessarily right, but we still love them. So the spiritual disciplines, what they do is when we practice the spiritual disciplines or the practice of Jesus, what they do is they reorientate, they change the direction of our heart towards Jesus again. So the first thing they do and why it's worthwhile practicing what Jesus practiced is because it redirects your heart from the things that aren't necessarily very good for us, which we know, and it helps change our heart towards Jesus, and that in effect has a change upon our practice. So often we just think of going, oh, I should do this now, I'll just try and do that. And we fail because actually we still love hot dogs. We still love the sin, that we still love the addiction, we still love the thing that we're going back to. And actually, it's really hard to change overnight. But the spiritual practices bring us back to, they change the direction of our heart, they change the orientation of our heart back towards Jesus. That's the first step of spiritual disciplines. The spiritual practices shape the direction of our heart. They shape our deepest longing, our deepest desires. So the reason why to engage in them is because they change the longing of your heart in a different direction. So it's not like just saying, quickly, change. It's saying, actually, spend time with Jesus, and that will change you. That will transform you. Spend time in his presence. Spend time with him. And the spiritual disciplines are all things that bring us closer to Jesus, bring us closer to who God is, to enter into and tap into the divine presence of God. And that changes our heart, that changes our longings, it changes our desires. So this morning we look at the what. What did they do? So we looked at kind of like, why do them? They change the direction of our heart. They change what's going on in us in the deepest part of our being. But what do they do? What's kind of the point of the disciplines? And so, what is discipline? So any discipline could be described as this. A discipline is an activity I can do by direct effort that will eventually enable me to do that which currently I cannot do by direct effort. You're going, what? Let's use this analogy again of athletics or sport like Paul uses. It's saying, I could go to the gym today, which would be an utter miracle, and I could maybe lift maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 kilograms. I'm not very strong. But if I went back every day and I trained, and I started lifting weights, I could maybe lift a 3 kilogram weight, and then I could get to maybe a 5 kilogram weight after a few more weeks, maybe then a 7 kilogram weight, and maybe a 10 kilogram weight. Over time, over the discipline of training, I could be able to do something that currently I can't do. Or it's like playing an instrument. When you start off, you can't play the instrument, but over practice and over time, the more you discipline yourself, the more you train, you're then suddenly able to play an instrument. You're able, by direct effort of training, to do something that currently you can't do by direct effort. In the same way of saying, if I want to run a marathon, if I went out tomorrow to run a marathon, I would fail very, very quickly. I can't, by direct effort now, do that. But over time, through training and through discipline, I might be able to enter into the ability to do that particular thing. So disciplines are things that we do to enable us to access a power that we currently don't have. We currently don't possess. That was to access a power we currently don't possess. So the more you train, the more you do something, the more it allows you to do something you couldn't do before. Stay with me. So training is this principle of what a spiritual discipline could be looked at like. It's not about doing it because I ought to do it because I'm a Christian. It's saying, by doing these things, you're going to be able to access a power to which you currently don't have. You're going to be able to do something you currently can't do. And so spiritual disciplines are about accessing into not our own power, but into the power of heaven, into the power of the Holy Spirit. That the time we spend with Jesus, when we practice certain disciplines, the spiritual disciplines, they allow us to access into a power that is beyond us, we don't currently have. So a definition there would be, the spiritual disciplines are practices based on the lifestyle of Jesus that create time and space for us to access the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, be transformed from the inside out. So what it's saying there, anything that Jesus does, any of the stuff that he does in the Bible, recorded in the four Gospels, any of the things that he does are the sorts of things that are practices that if we do them, and we do them over a period of time, they will allow us to access into a power that we currently don't have that is beyond us, which ultimately in this case is the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God. And in the process also, it will transform us. In the same way, for example, if I start lifting weights, at the moment, these puny arms will suddenly become a lot bigger. There'll be a transformation that would take place in the process of training. And so in the process of training, there'll be a transformation to me physically. And in spiritual disciplines, the more you practice them, not only does it allow you to have a power that you currently don't have, it transforms you. It does something to you. So when we come to spiritual disciplines, it's not saying you should do this just because it's a good thing to do. It's saying when you do these things, it will allow you to have access to heaven and it will transform you in the process. And so the reason why we do them is because they allow us to become more like Jesus. In the same way that if you're an apprentice, when you start out as an apprentice, say it's in woodwork. At the beginning of that time, there are things that you can't do. And you'll be looking at the person you're learning from going, how on earth do you ever do that? And they'll start showing you things. So you practice what they practice. And like you use certain little things to start off with, little things to experiment with and try. And you try those things. And then because you've done that, you can now do this. And because you've done this, you can now do that. And you, over time, you are transformed into someone who can then do something that you couldn't do before. And so if the gospel is about how far that before Christ we had no spiritual access to heaven, and that we now can approach God because of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, it means the spiritual practices of Jesus, what they do, first of all, they change our heart back towards God, and secondly, they allow the transformation of us in the fact that we can access heaven. The fact that we can experience God now means we have access to a power that we didn't have before. Dallas Willard, who writes on spiritual practices, who we've used a few times in this series, says this: the disciplines are activities of mind and body purposefully undertaken to bring our personality and total being into effective cooperation with the divine order. They enable us more and more to live in a power that is, strictly speaking, beyond us, deriving from the spiritual realm itself. As we yield ourselves to God, as those who are alive from the dead, and our members as instruments of righteousness unto God, as Romans 6:13 puts it. He's saying, when we put our lives in God's hands in this way, it means we derive power from heaven, which means we can then be used as God wants us to be used. And so, as I said before, if you want to do the things that Jesus does, you've got to live the life that Jesus lives. If you want to be someone who has spiritual power in your life, if you want to be someone who has spiritual influence in your life, if you want to be someone who makes a change in the world around you, then the spiritual practices allow you to tap into the power of heaven and then be able to administer that into all that you do. So if you want to see people healed, You've got to discipline your life into the spiritual practices that are going to bring life to you, to tap into the power of heaven so that you can access that power in what you're doing. If you want to be better at sharing your faith, tapping into the presence and power of God through the practices of Jesus will empower you, will give access to a power to be able to do something you couldn't do before. See, there are things that we can do and the things that we sometimes can't do. But with God, all things are possible. And maybe like me, you've been put in situations in your life where actually you thought, I can't do this. And if God doesn't turn up right now, it's not going to happen. And you've done it and God's turned up. It's like, wow. So that what I want you to get your heads around this morning is a simple idea, is that spiritual disciplines give access to a power you currently don't have. And that the more you do it, it's like training. It's not just saying, oh, you ought to pray today. It's saying the more you pray, as we looked at last week, the more you want to pray, it will change your heart towards God. But it will then allow you to have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in your life to live the life that Jesus lived, to do the things that Jesus does. So that's why it's worth practicing them. And the problem is so often with us, when we first start trying to read our Bible or pray or do any of the other disciplines ultimately in the Christian life, it could be solitude, it could be times on our own, it could be celebration, eating with other people in community, whatever these things are, if we start them, we go, oh, tried that, didn't work for me, not touching that with a barge pole. And because in that one instant, it didn't make a difference to us, it doesn't feel like it made a difference to us, we then stop. But actually, if you persevere with it, and you discipline your life, and you look at it as, I'm training, rather than I'm just trying, that will transform your relationship with God, and it will transform the effectiveness that we have as believers. And it means that by living the life that Jesus lived, we'll be able to do the things that Jesus does. To have the impact that Jesus has. So spiritual disciplines are part of our transformation. But the more we do them, the more we are transformed in our being. It's something that I say, if I'm lifting weights, it will allow me to access a power, but it will also transform my physical body. And by practicing spiritual disciplines in our life, or the practices of Jesus, what they do is they will transform your spiritual life. They will transform how you see the world around you. They will transform you from the inside out. You see, we have some responsibility in our transformation. It's not God zaps us and suddenly we're transformed into a different person. There is effort on our part, which is hard to hear in a Protestant church when we're this side of the Reformation. Because the Reformation, 400 years ago, what happened was, the church had lost its way and was saying, you must do certain things in order to earn your salvation. And the Reformation, which was the time when the big thing changed, was it was saying, you don't earn your salvation. It is a free gift from God, which it is. But often, so often in ideas, the pendulum swings so far one way and it goes so far the other way. Actually, something we've lost in our tradition of the church is we've lost the understanding that there are things that we can do in order to maintain and encourage our walk with God. So in your life, it's a partnership between us and God in our transformation. Now, I reckon God does all the heavy lifting. But there's a part that we have to play in our spiritual journey. It's not just waiting for God to zap us and transform us. There are things that we can do. And it's about being like people in training, saying, I want to train my life to have the power of heaven involved in my life so I can change the world. That's what the spiritual disciplines are doing. They are training in order to be able to have more impact in the world around you. As Dallas Willard says again, he says, grace is not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning. To live the life of Jesus, it's not easy. It's going to take effort. It's going to take time. It's going to not always be straightforward. And that's okay. This is not about earning your salvation. This is about saying, actually, you are part of the transformation. You're involved in this too. And God's with you in that. And you can't do it on your own. You can't do it by by sheer willpower. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. This is a partnership between you and God in your spiritual life. So what do the practices do? They are training to access power we don't yet have, but could, and transform us to be able to wield it. Spiritual disciplines are allowing you to tap into power you currently don't have, but you could do. And in the process, you'll be transformed so that you actually can wield the power to which you now have. Put it in other ways like this. When you read the Bible, it says things like, don't be anxious about anything. And you think, well, that's a nice statement to make. Don't be anxious about anything. And you think, well, that's nice for you to say, Jesus. Have you seen my life? What it's saying is, currently, I want to have the power to do that, to not be anxious. But it's saying, if God's word says, don't be anxious, then maybe with God's power and God's help, there's a possibility for me to be in a place where actually I haven't got to worry anymore. And so the spiritual disciplines, the spiritual practices are saying, I am going to practice God's presence. I'm going to practice things that may draw me close to Jesus. And over time, through training myself to reorientate my heart and to tap into God's power, maybe I'll have the ability with God's help to not be anxious. See, so often we read the Bible and we go, that's impossible. You can't do that. It's impossible for you currently. The disciplines are the training ground for us to be able to see that become a reality in our lives. Don't be anxious about anything. That's one that I am still learning. But I know that when I'm having time with God regularly, I am much more able to believe that God's in control of my life than when I've stopped having time with God regularly. So I see the reality of when I'm training myself to access the power of heaven, I'm much more ready to believe that is true. I'm much more able to put that into practice in my life than when I'm not doing that. Now, I don't know what else it might be that you struggle with when Jesus says, maybe it's forgiveness. Where the Bible says forgive, and you're going, I can't forgive that person. That's not possible for me right now. You haven't got the power to do that right now, but there's power that you can tap into. It means that you could be able to do that. And the spiritual disciplines are tapping into a power you currently don't have and saying, with time and with that training, it's a power I could have. But we see we've gone wrong in the church so often by just saying, don't worry. And we all put a smile on our face, and we all don't believe it, but we all know we ought to believe it because we're Christians. But Jesus doesn't say, it's all solved in a problem. All your problems are solved in an instant. He's saying, live your life in this particular way, and suddenly those things will become real for you. Those things will become more straightforward for you. So I hope you understand the fact that it's accessing a power you currently don't have, or being able to do something you currently don't feel able to do, and saying with time and in the presence of God, with his help, maybe you can do that. And that's great news for us. When we think all the things that we feel that right now we can't even muster up the energy to do, with God's help we can. And that's the what of the Christian disciplines and practices. What they do is allow us to tap into a power we currently don't have. And through effort, we can't currently do it, but with his help and through training, we then can do it. And that's awesome. That's so exciting for us on the journey of following Jesus. So just to recap, the why of the disciplines is that they redirect our hearts, our loves and our longings. So ultimately, that's the reconnecting us with Jesus. The reason we do these practices of Jesus is they reconnect us to him. And Jesus says, I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. He's saying, you want to connect in with Jesus. So first of all, the disciplines are about connecting into Jesus. Changing our heart, direction of our heart, our longings, our desires back to Jesus. And then secondly, what they do is they give access to possess a power beyond us. Basically, to do the things we currently can't do, but make them possible over time. Which is ultimately about accessing the power of the Holy Spirit in our transformation. So this is great news. Connecting with God, spending time with Him, allows us to do something we couldn't do before. It's one of those things, isn't it, where in the church we basically kind of say, become a Christian, read your Bible and pray. And the problem is, it's kind of just true. None of us want to hear that. We all want it to be some magic bullet. But for 2,000 years, it's kind of been ultimately what it's about. Do what Jesus did. Spend time with Him. Allow it to transform you. And the more you do it, the more you'll be able to do it. So see the disciplines as an idea that you can practice, that you can train to be able to access a power you currently don't have. This is really exciting. So just take a moment to think about an area of your life where you're thinking, oh, I know the Bible says that, but that's something that I find very hard to believe right now. Something I find very hard to put into practice right now. Just take a moment to think about maybe something in your life, what that might be. And hear the truth, the fact that you might not be able to do it right now through your own effort, but through the practice of Jesus, it's the training ground to allow you to be able to do what currently you feel you can't. That's our part in this transformation process. God does all the heavy lifting, but our part is in connecting with Him again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that You lived a life on earth that shows us how we can live, the best way to live. And Father God, I pray that You'd help us put into practice the things that You did to allow us to reorientate our hearts back to You, to change the deepest longings and desires of our hearts, and Lord, to access the power that currently we don't have, and Lord, be transformed to be able to wield it well. Father God, thank You that the Christian life is about hope. It's not about condemnation, it's about hope. And thank You that through time with You, through the disciplines, through the practices of Jesus, we can be transformed and we can experience that hope in all its fullness. So thank You for John 10:10. It reminds us that the enemy comes to kill, steal and destroy, but You have come to bring life and life in its fullness. So thank You, Jesus. We worship Your name. Amen.